Happy Thanksgiving on the Ira Kaufman podcast, your favorite Bucks podcast every Tuesday and Thursday here on JoeBucksFan.com, starring the relentless, the ubiquitous Ira Kaufman, Tampa Bay's only Pro Football Hall of Fame voter. What an honor. 75 years covering the NFL.
I have booked my trip to Houston, Steve. Our listeners need to know that.
You're wangling.
I am booked. You're wangling. I am booked for Hobby Airport, people.
Yeah, he's got a job to do, but today the job is the podcast, which is presented by Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. You know, and Ira, when we say presented and by Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon, these are dealerships you personally endorse. This is like a relationship. This isn't just like something winged out there. This is family.
They treat me so well, Steve. Anita out there does a great job. Very professionally run. And this time of year in particular, Steve, all kinds of deals going on at both locations.
And what makes it fun, Ira, is that you're always dressed in your Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon gear, which is a lot of fun. But we'll talk more about vehicles later. While you listen to the podcast, of course, you can surf EdMorrisCadillacTampa.com and EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com. So, Ira, 3 days, we got the biggest game we've had around here in ages. You talked to Pete Carroll today here at One Buck Palace. I'm Steve Isbitz, along with Lee DeCamper. If you don't know, the voice is on the air. And, Ira, Pete Carroll, Jameis, what did he have to say?
You know, guys, look. You've been doing this almost as long as I have, caveman days.
Combined, maybe?
And, you know, look, every week we get the opposing coach and a player, and I've been through it so many times, Steve, that I think I have pretty good instincts when, you know, look, they're never going to knock, you know, the Bucks. They're never going to knock a Buck player or a Buck quarterback when you ask them about it. But there's a degrees of you know, being genuine. And when Carroll was asked about number three, he said, I've been following this kid basically since he was in high school. His competitiveness, his passion is off the charts. And he compared him to Russell Wilson in year two and how Russell Wilson just kept getting better and better. And now Wilson, I believe, is in top five, certainly, of quarterbacks around the league. And he said, there's absolutely no reason in the world Jameis Winston is not going to be in that category. He used the word great. And you don't throw around the word great, and Pete Carroll doesn't on a regular basis, Steve, unless you mean it. So that is a view how an opposing coach is looking at the Bucks franchise quarterback. He is the face of the franchise without question. I asked Jameis this week, Steve. I said, I know you don't want to talk about the P word. I got a quick glance from Winston like, I don't even know what you're talking about. I quickly mentioned the word playoffs, so he knew where I was coming from. He had a great line. You got to take care of the W word, win, before you take care of the P word. Great answer from the clear-cut leader of your Buccaneers. And coming off, Steve, arguably the best game Jameis Winston's ever played, perhaps, last week.
Perhaps, yeah. It was certainly his top three games. The game against or at Philadelphia last year springs to mind. But certainly it's right up there. I asked Joe Hawley about Jameis. I said, man, you see him on the sidelines before the game. Buccaneers.com has a clip of this on their website on Bucks Rewind video. You know, Jameis after the game, Chiefs game, he said, yeah, I was doing a tomahawk chop with the Chiefs fans. And it came across a little bit, not completely, but just a little bit like he might have been trolling Chiefs fans. Like maybe that was not the case. But there's video of him right before the kickoff, and the Chiefs are doing their tomahawk chop. He's right there doing the tomahawk chop, and he's hollering, and he's doing a Warren Sapp where his head's bobbing up and down. And I asked Holly, what's that mean? Would you see your quarterback? Yeah, I mean, it's like he's a sophomore in high school. He goes, that rubs off on all of us. He goes, he's always excited, but when he gets that excited, it just rubs off on everybody.
And Steve, let me be clear on one thing.
No, please.
I'm not trying to imply, gentlemen, that Jameis Winston isn't going to have his bad days. He's going to have them. Russell Wilson has them, but they're few and far between for Russell Wilson. Jameis Winston's going to struggle at times. Steve, it's not going to be easy sailing, but I believe people turned on him a little prematurely when the Bucks were off to that 1-3 start and he wasn't playing particularly well. You know, we should have drafted Mariota. This was a mistake. I told you not to take Winston. How quickly they turn.
Stay off Twitter, Kaufman.
How quickly they turn.
Chris Conti would say.
Should I stay off Joe Bucks fans and some of the comments there, too?
Well, don't do that. Don't do
that. But, Steve, I don't have any doubt in my mind. Jameis Winston is going to be a heck of a quarterback.
Yeah, and a couple of things, you know, going back to what you said about Pete Carroll's response, just for the fans listening, you know, we're obviously living this this dream every single day covering the Buccaneers. But as an example, Andy Reid last week, I was on that conference call. Andy Reid couldn't wait to get off the phone. That was the bottom line. He, you know, he said a few things, didn't have much to say, sort of scoffed at one question. And, you know, maybe he's busy. He was a little late on the call, but not every coach is, you know, throwing superlatives out left and right. And it was pretty funny today, Ira. Of course, we're recording this Wednesday at One Buck Palace, which is what makes the podcast available for you on this fantastic Thanksgiving morning. You know, when you started your question to Jameis with the P word, saying, let's talk about the P word, Jameis, I couldn't help but think that Jameis is, for some little second, was thinking, man, the last time they were asking me about this, I was screaming in a Florida State courtyard on video.
And that's why I threw the word playoffs in there so quick.
But you righted the ship.
I thought the same thing Steve said, and I noticed his facial reaction. When you said P word, he kind of looked at you like, what?
Yes, yes, yes. But I quickly followed up, Lee.
Yeah, and then and his face brightened up when he was like, where are you going with this?
You know, nobody wants to talk about the playoffs around here, including the guys upstairs, Cutter Light and Brian Glazer. They don't want to talk about it. You know, it's superstitious and this and that. But we do. Steve, we do, because they're 5-5.
Did you have oatmeal with Brian Glazer today? Is that what's going on?
I'll say it again. Race to 10. God bless Raheem Morris. I think he's going to be right. That's where the Redskins tie. You know, they could end up 9-6-1. Mm-hmm. Maybe the Bucs sneak in. But, Lee, can the Bucs get the 10? Can they really get the 10?
Boy, well, if they get the 10, they got to win Sunday. And while I'm thinking about this, is it true what Peter King writes, that the oatmeal here is salty?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
You remember that, Steve?
Yeah.
Okay, you back know, to... You know,
instead of talking about the personnel around here or Jason Light's you know, draft acumen, Peter King wants to talk about the oatmeal. And by the way, we never get in that room. Lee.
No.
When do we ever get in that room? We don't
in the cafeteria?
We don't get into
When's the last time you asked? You never ask. Hey, can I have a meal around here?
You know what? If they beat the Seahawks, I might come in here Monday and ask to
taste the oatmeal.
Have a little oatmeal.
Yes, step up your game, Ira. All right, now, right after our podcast on Tuesday broke, you know, huge news broke, which we haven't talked about yet because of the timing of the podcast. Hey Jude, Ajay Barima, starting nickel cornerback, key cog in this team. He's out now 4 games with a performance-enhancing drug suspension. That's a loss, especially with Brent Grimes being banged up. Early reports out of practice today. We'll see the injury report by the time this podcast hits. But early reports out of practice say Grimes wasn't on the field. And so now you're down Grimes. I talked to Alteron Verner today, who said the players did not have a heads up to Ajay Barima's suspension.
Mike Smith also said that.
Mike Smith said that. I don't know if I believe that, but because that's really not how the NFL works. But I believe Verner, who said the players really didn't get any kind of heads up. And Verner said, I might play nickel. I'll do whatever they tell me to do, but I really haven't practiced there very much. What kind of situation are the Bucs left in here, Ira? This is a big deal.
It's a tough situation with Baldwin and Graham coming to town, mm-hmm. Lee. Now, Graham might be more of a safety responsibility. But Baldwin has emerged the last couple of years as an elite receiver.
Sure.
He is an elite receiver. He's a big play guy. They got enough trouble, you know, trying to keep Wilson in the pocket. He's out of the pocket where he's really dangerous. I say shame, shame, shame on Barima, Lee. Yeah, I offer him no sympathy, zero. He didn't even offer an excuse, Steve. You know, usually these guys say it's Adderall or something.
I was waiting for
he didn't
like
even say anything.
Spiked Ovaltine.
So
or something.
My point is, you know, Steve, you got to own it. You got to live with it. And you know what you just did? You let all your teammates down. Shameful.
I don't care who the player is. If he gets popped, at best, you didn't do your job. Let's take Kwon, for example. And I like Kwon, don't get me wrong. But he claims it was an energy. That's what they claim. We don't know. The NFL is not allowed, per the NFLPA agreement, NFL is not allowed to release what they got popped for. So it could be anything. It could be spiked high C. Who knows? But, you know, Kwon claimed it was an energy drink. Hey, you should have checked with the Bucks. He didn't. If that's what it was, I'm not suggesting anything. I'm just saying we do not know for fact what it was. And Kwan claims it was energy drink. If that was, that was your fault for not checking with the Bucks. Anything you get popped for, that's your fault because you're putting it in your body. And if you don't check with someone, or God forbid it's something illegal, that's on you, the player.
We might be reliving a nightmare here, Steve, because last year, correct me if I'm wrong, Steve, six and six, no Kwan Alexander the last four games.
Well, Kwan was
0-4. Now, I'm not trying to equate Barima with Kwan
Alexander. Yeah.
But you called him a key cog, Steve. That was you.
He is a key cog. He's not Kwan Alexander key, but he's a key cog.
He's a key cog, but he's not.
If they go 1-5, I'm not totally going to blame it on you know, missing Barima.
I got to be fair. One of the reasons why Lovey's not here is he knew, the team knew, Kwan was going to get suspended. I mean, he got popped in training camp.
And they kept putting it off.
Well, not so much that. They never adjusted. Never adjusted. If you know this is going to happen, and when it does happen, you still have a month to try to make a, you know, create a workaround for your defense to compensate for that loss, and you don't do it, that's on Lovey.
And Steve, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't the Bucks have some leeway in when Alexander would serve that suspension?
They kept
pushing it back?
Well, I know it's tied to the player. It's the player's decision on appealing, and that's an NFLPA issue. I don't think the Bucks had any sort of they don't have any control.
And nobody knew they'd be 6-6, Lee, to be fair. Nobody knew that.
No one thought
The player can ask for a retest, and then there's a backlog, and then there's an appeal process, so who knows? I think
it's a distraction. It's a distraction. Yeah, they don't need.
And as long as we're piling on Jude, what did you say? Shame. Look, Jude was here last year. He saw what happened to Kwan. He saw the results. He saw all the lectures that the team got on why, you know, if you have a question, go to the trainer, talk to the doctors, see what you can put in your body. They all learned that lesson except for Jude. So it's inexcusable. I mean, he's not even a big guy. I mean, Jude's what, like 5'9", 180 pounds. Yeah. I don't know what he was doing or thinking.
Right.
And this is an undrafted rookie last year. He's cost himself a lot of money. And this is going to affect his status in the league. Really stupid and really hurt this team.
Yeah, because if next time he's popped, he's out half a season. NFL teams aren't exactly willing to invest heavily in a guy that might be gone for half a season.
And he's tacitly admitted that he's guilty. Right, Steve?
Well,
he offered
simply admitted.
That's your word for today.
Well, he didn't offer an excuse, so by that
but
you're
saying. But I mean, everybody else says Adderall. We didn't know. You know, we didn't even get that.
Right.
You know, and then that I always think the Adderall excuses. It's weak.
That means everybody's depressed in the NFL. That's what that means.
Yeah, I prefer, you know, saying, well, this stripper, she had this lotion on and we hugged and it got absorbed and, you know.
I hope this is not a Tanner Jackson situation where, you know.
No, that's different.
That was a whole different thing.
He kept getting in trouble.
Well, his thing was he couldn't put the bong down.
Well, that's right. There's no, and he's out of football.
He's out of football. Thanks to himself.
Yeah, that's we're talking about.
But the fact is that this could have an effect on Sunday's game, Steve.
Yeah, it's something we had to address on the Ira Kaufman podcast because it's comprehensive.
No, nobody gets away with anything on this podcast.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Now,
especially your shabby shirt today. Now,
shabby.
Mr. DeKemper.
What's wrong with my shirt?
I don't know.
He wears Ed Moore's shirt and everybody else is wearing rags.
That's right. That's right. What's next, Steve? What's next on the agenda, my friend?
What's next? All right. Well, Ira,
let's talk about the significance of this game, Steve. I mean, I don't care that these people don't want to talk about the P word.
Look, this is the biggest game in a long time in town here. And I have to say, Ira, you know, I sent you an email. Did you get my email about the Tampa Bay Times?
Yes, I did.
Okay. Now listen. Today's Wednesday when we're recording the podcast. I go to Publix.
Football week starts on a Wednesday.
I get my milk in the morning. I just look at the Times in the store.
You get your supplement, you know, and Viagra, and we understand what goes on.
Thank you. And I get the sports section. I look at it. I'm looking at it in the supermarket, and there's nothing on the Bucks on the front page. Nothing.
And you think maybe I got Tuesday's paper. But you had Wednesday's paper.
I had today's paper. Nothing on the Bucks on the front page. It's astonishing. This is the biggest game in a long, long time. I mean, unbelievable. So I'm not sure what is going on in this town. I'm not seeing rally flags. I'm not hearing some the Bucks coming out with, oh, fill the stadium, you know, stuff.
All my buddies, Leah, on Sunday night and Monday were talking about the Bucks. It's all they were talking about.
It's the biggest story in
town. We'll see if it translates into a big crowd on Sunday, Lee. You hope it would.
Yeah, I think Thanksgiving weekend will be impacted. You know, it won't be that.
I think there's a game Saturday, right? USF is playing at Ray J at noon on Saturday. I hope those Bulls and Knights don't rip up the Buck Field over there, Lee. Because I just saw the field in Mexico the other night, and it looked bad. It looked bad. I'm glad that Raiders were not strewn all over the field. Can you imagine if Derek Carr would have pulled a hamstring?
Obviously, the NFL
that's all we would have been. That's all Florio would have been talking about.
Well, clearly the NFL would care, shall we say? Because they're making millions of dollars. I mean, what is that, 80,000-seat, 100,000-seat stadium?
If they win this game, I think we got Izbit's talking about the playoffs.
All right, so look.
If they win this game.
Look, 7-2-1, Seahawks come in here. This is as close to an NFC dynasty as we have.
Probably the favorites to reach the Super Bowl from the NFC.
Yes.
I believe.
Absolutely. Polished. This is not for the Seahawks. This is just a walk-in. This is what they do. They come in to play big road games.
They're marauders.
And Thanksgiving. This is a tough, tough team. How do the Bucs win this game, Ira? How do they win this game? Do they just do what they did last week, which is put it on the back of Jameis? How do they win this thing? What's the path to glory?
Keep Wilson in the pocket. Don't let him escape because he's extremely dangerous. He's one of the few guys that can run to his left as a right-handed quarterback and still get the ball down the field. Lee, that's a very tough pass for most right-handers to make. We were talking today about maybe his baseball background as a middle infielder. Steve has helped him make all these a lot of these crazy off-balance throws.
That's what Mike Smith said.
Like an Ozzie Smith kind of deal, yeah.
It's a tall order, Steve. They play with a swagger. You know, we've talked about one time we asked Gruden, what's a swagger? And, you know, what does swagger mean? And Gruden said, you smash somebody's ass. That's swagger. That's a great classic Gruden answer. But Lee, the Seahawks play with a swagger. They know they're good. Mm-hmm. They're good, and they know they're good.
Yeah, Richard Sherman and the likes. And
they're 7-point favorites, Steve, for a reason, on the road. The Bucs have a lot to prove at home. I'm sorry. I'm not overwhelmed by beating Jay Cutler.
Enough of this, Ira. Tell me how the Bucs win the game. How do they beat the Seahawks?
Ratty Jay Cutler.
This is the biggest. How are they? What's the path to victory? They keep Russell Wilson in the pocket? That's it? Come on.
On defense, they keep Wilson in the pocket. I'm not worried about Seattle's run game. It's mediocre. Mm-hmm. Mediocre. On offense, they go to Mike Evans. I don't care if Mike Sherman. I don't care if they got three guys on Evans. I'm trusting Evans. He's earned my trust. The last play last week, the Chiefs knew that the ball was going to Evans, the one that sealed the decision. Mm-hmm. They didn't stop him. I don't care if he's covered, Steve. I'm going to Evans. The offensive line coming off a fantastic game in terms of pass protection. I don't care if Michael Bennett's playing or Michael Bennett's not playing. Don't be scared of these boys. Feel you're on equal footing with them. The confidence factor, I like the way Winston's playing. Ultimately, I don't think the Bucs are going to win the game, Lee, but there's a path to victory.
Until proven otherwise, no. I mean, yes, that was a nice win against Kansas City, but until proven otherwise, that was a fluke. I'm sorry.
Take it easy there, DeCamera.
Take it easy.
How many years have they been in the basement, Ira?
5.
Yeah, well, there you go.
But there was nothing fluky about the nature of that victory. They outplayed Kansas City.
They outplayed them, but what I'm saying is that an outlier or is that the norm? Until proven otherwise, that's an outlier.
Well, Steve, the reason I throw caution in there, and you do too, is we've seen what happens when we get our hopes up high about this franchise. We don't have to go back further than 2015. They didn't show up in December.
Well,
and as a result, their coach didn't show up in January. He's out.
He showed up to clean up his office.
Let's take it another step. The reason that we're showing this caution is because they're 1-4 at home. And they're 5-5 overall. I mean, that doesn't exactly inspire confidence. We need to see more.
But they sprung a major upset, Steve, last week.
Yeah, that's why we have hope. You know, the waters of hope. I feel like I want to do a cannonball.
Waters of hope.
But,
You feel the Bucs can win a close game now that Aguayo has straightened out for the time being, at least.
Mm-hmm.
He kicked very well on a terrible day for kickers around the National Football
League. You took words out of my mouth. A horrible day for kickers except for Aguayo.
You know, I can't go there yet. Still a little hesitant.
I feel better about the Bucs winning than Aguayo having a good day. I'm being honest with you. I need to. You know, I'm a little gun shy after 10 weeks of horror, including preseason.
Are you guys putting any stock into this sort of newfound chemistry? Maybe based around Winston's letter, They seem to be playing for each other.
I keep telling you. That's
That not help when it's 3rd and 9 and here comes Michael
Bennett? Telling you, it's the Jamesburg address. You need to get that linger down, the vernacular.
Steve, do you feel they're playing together a little bit more, supporting each other?
Yeah, look, they played a good game. They dominated the Bears, which is what they had to do. So, sure, look, they've won 4 out of 6. That's not a joke, but Raheem Morris's 2011 Bucks open and won 4 out of 6 to open the season and never won again. So as Bucks fans, we're so punch drunk from this losing. It's repetitive pound your head against the wall.
And last night we saw the NFL films of the 76 Bucks, you know, when they were literally a punching bag.
Well, but there's reason for optimism. But there's no reason in the world, maybe Lee will disagree, but there's no reason in the world at all that this team shouldn't be competitive on Sunday. They've got enough healthy defense. It could be competitive.
Yeah.
You know, go toe-to-toe with the best team in the league. You don't win, but show up.
If Greg Schiano's teams could do that in Seattle, which I think you once referred to as House of Horrors, then Dirk Cutter's
team
with James
Winston.
Boy,
do I remember that game in Seattle. You know, we talked at halftime. Maybe the three of us talked at halftime.
What, you, Roy, and Martin?
I don't know if you guys were at that game.
No.
But a huge first-half lead. Huge. Might have been 21.
Yeah, 20 points. Yeah, something
okay.
like that.
And a lot of us in the press box, some guy said, they're going to find a way to lose this game.
Sounds
and
like Martin.
And that was the MO of the Bucks. They'll find a way to lose. Is that changing at all?
We'll find out. I don't know.
You maybe, because I was thinking the same thing
in
Kansas City.
Out in Kansas
I
City.
Was waiting. It's going to happen. I wrote it on Twitter a couple times. They had a couple of penalties. I said, here we go. They can't sustain a drive. They're making mental mistakes. Typical Bucks are shooting themselves in the foot. I was waiting for that to happen in Kansas City. It didn't happen.
We also said that at halftime of the Bears game, Steve, off the Hail Mary. Here we go again. They'll find a way to lose. It was a 7-point game, Steve, at that point. And a lot of the chatter in the press box, Lee, am I right?
You're absolutely correct. Here we go again.
They are depressed. Yep. They are down. And the Bears will roll in the second.
The Bears would rally from that Hail Mary, yes.
And it didn't happen, Steve.
It's just that, look, we're conditioned. We're animals. We're conditioned. You give you tell us to sit. You give us a dog.
What are we, mice in a cage, Steve?
I mean, you tell us to sit. You give us a treat. We sit down and we expect a treat. So it's the Bucks. You expect. We need a culture-changing victory. Or at least just start showing up. But Ira, when it comes to luxury vehicles, nothing beats the performance.
What a segue.
And sophistication of a Cadillac, especially at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon and Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. 70 years of Ed Morse, Ira. During our season's best event, get our best offers on the Cadillac you've always wanted, like the 2016 CT6 Prestige Sedan, leased for $589 a month with zero due, sign and drive. Just the way I love it to be. Visit Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of I-275 on Fletcher, Ira. Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa.com, Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon.com.
They will treat you like family, Steve. And Winston talks about family. That's what they do at Ed Morse.
Yeah, just mention Ira if you. Yeah, just mention Ira. Tell him you love Ira, and we'll see what happens.
Ask for the Kaufman discount, Steve. See if it works.
All right, now, Ira, look.
How many Seahawks fans do you expect in the building on
I don't expect,
2000.
Not many. I mean, you'll have your wannabes.
The Bronco people came out, Steve. They came out in force.
I agree. Denver's a little bit closer, at least, than Seattle.
Plus, Thanksgiving weekend, they're going to travel.
Well, they won the Super Bowl last year, so you always have your bandwagon types. But I think there's still some bandwagon Seahawks fans out there. But I'm not expecting any kind of special Seahawks crowd.
Now, not to deviate a little bit, but about their fans and their crowd. Phoenix, when they were playing the Patriots. Was it at Phoenix when they played the Patriots in the Super Bowl? They played somebody in the Super Bowl.
Yes. I think so. Yes.
And I was out in Phoenix, as you were too, Ira. I was stunned at all the Seahawks fans. Now, granted, Phoenix is a hell of a lot closer to Seattle than
Tampa. Super Bowl, sure.
Yeah, and
sure.
That's a Super Bowl as well. But, I mean, they were. You figure the Patriots, they were, you know, their fans are all over the place. It's a huge market. And I'm not saying they were not represented, but it was Seahawks City.
Did
in
you
downtown
allude
Phoenix.
To the Seahawks winning the Super Bowl?
Yeah,
last year,
I remember.
That's incorrect.
They what? Did.
The Broncos.
No, Broncos. That's what I meant.
Oh, the Broncos. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I remember this now. Lee and I were out there for Super Bowl Media Day, and it was clearly Seahawks fans dominated Seahawks
absolutely.
The Media Day versus the other fans. But I don't think that means much this weekend.
And then, you know, guys, when they played the Broncos in New York, and I was at that game.
Yes,
that was the game Seattle won in a rout. Mm-hmm. Seahawks fans were everywhere. They totally outnumbered Denver fans. Seattle fans are rabid.
Yes,
they are rabid. Now, will they make this, you know, what is it, a 3,000-mile trek? I mean,
on Thanksgiving weekend, unlikely.
You know, unlikely.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it. Now, Ira, a very interesting quote from Mr. Cutter. Okay, I want to know what you make of this since you are the iconic.
Did he mention my name in this quote, Steve?
He didn't. He didn't.
Right. That was Sunday.
That was Sunday.
He's the what am I saying? I was going to call you the iconic sage of Tampa Bay sports.
I'll take that.
I'm looking for the quote here, but you know what? I can't find it, but it doesn't really matter because I'll paraphrase it for you. He said on his radio show Monday night, he said that watching Peyton Barber, the undrafted rookie, talked about how he was running with power and how impressive he was on some big runs in the second half against Kansas City. Cutter said, I look at the sheet after watching the film, and Barber's got 5 runs, Doug's got 24. We need to get Peyton Barber the ball more. Now, that's very nice, but they're paying Doug Martin $8 million. The guy's just getting healthy. This is your bell cow back, and you're talking about going to Peyton Barber more? That was a little bit of a red flag for me. What do you make of that?
It is a bit of a red flag. I take it at face value, Lee. I think Martin is still going to be the guy. You know, when the postgame sheet came out, Lee, and I saw he averaged 2.6 yards, I was a little surprised. I thought Martin was a little more effective than that. I thought Martin made the first guy miss quite a bit at Arrowhead.
He may have, but I'll mention this. I think I mentioned it to
but
Steve
he's
Lawrence.
Certainly not resembling his 2015 form. He's not.
No, he's resembling his 2013-2014 form more than anything. I think I mentioned this to you, Steve. I'm not sure at the game. I thought I did, but he was doing a lot of Charles Sims twinkle toes, which Peyton Barber was not. Peyton Barber was hitting the hole.
He was.
Donovan Smith, Ali Marpet, those guys were blowing holes open for both Barber and Martin. But Barber, I mean, if you're going to base what Barber did and what Martin did against Kansas City, you're damn right I'm going to give Peyton and Barber the ball. Yeah, but Doug Martin's got a bigger check. But you know what? They're in a playoff run. Who plays shouldn't matter on what their salary is. Who plays should be the production.
Yeah. Don't forget Martin's injury factors in, Steve. You know, maybe he's at 85%.
I don't think so. I think he's 100%. I mean, he's had a lot of carries since he came back. He said he feels great. Cutter said you never would know the guy was injured. He said that last week.
He didn't dilly-dally much in 2015, Steve, when he was gaining 1,400 yards.
I have to be fair about Doug Martin, even though I've been critical this year. Yes, he's been hurt, but, you know, even before he was hurt, he wasn't doing that great. But to Martin's credit, and this is part of the reason why Peyton Barber wasn't getting the ball a lot, Doug Martin is blocking like a maniac. I can't remember what specific play it was. Jameis goes back to pass. The Chiefs bring a blitz. Martin took out two guys.
Yeah, and Jameis completes the pass. And that's a great point because I was giving all the credit to the 5 guys up front, but the Cutter mentioned it, and he's right. The tight ends and the running backs also played a role in that airtight pass protection.
Yeah, a story on JoeBucksFan.com that I wrote a couple days ago. Basically, I talked to Martin after the game about his pass blocking, and he just explained that, man, I came into the league as run, 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 and that was all my focus was, and it took me a long time to appreciate the value of pass blocking, then to get good at it, and then now actually I like it. So he feels he's evolved into an excellent pass blocker, and the proof is out there. But
Barber's hitting the hole well, guys,
yes.
And quick.
Yes. Quick step.
But I still think that Martin's going to get 15 to 20 carries.
I agree with you, but you never know. I think I agree with Lee. The Bucs have to treat this game with a playoff mentality. And I think if you're Dirk Cutter, this might be your one shot to go after a big game at home this year with a playoff mentality, because you might be, by the time you get back home, you might be out of it. So I think the best man's got to play. Quick stat for you, Iris, since I know you love these statistics.
So you're saying this is not a game about pedigree and contracts?
Not this game.
Not this game.
Peyton Barber this season, 43 carries, 182 yards. Doug Martin, 65 carries, 181 yards.
It's 20 more carries. Same yardage.
Same yardage. It's interesting. We'll see how that shakes out.
Steve's absolutely right. They lose to Seattle, go out to San Diego, get popped there, season's over. It's draft time. So Steve's absolutely right. The future is now, as Bruce Allen used to say.
I can't disagree with you on that, Steven.
So, what
as
else?
As much as I'd love to.
Anything else on your mind, Ira, you want to get to here on your Ira
Traffic
Kaufman
Reporters
podcast?
I got you distracted now.
We do have to make our picks, Steven. You know, certainly
for this game?
Certainly we do have to do that.
I got to pick the Seahawks and hope for the best with the Bucks. That's all. What can I do?
I got a feeling DeKemper might go with the home team this week.
No.
You never know.
Can't. I'm a Bernie Bush kind of guy. Got to prove it.
Do I have to be? Do I have to be Debbie Downer and go? Or, you know, 0-3 for Buck fans over here? Steve?
No, you got to be true to yourself and true to your conscience and true to your fans.
I'm trying to think of one guy that can emerge for the Bucks on Sunday and make a difference. And you know what? I'm going to go with the ex-Seahawk, who happens to be one of the favorite guys,
J.R. Sweezy,
that I have to talk to. Will you get off that Sweezy stuff, Isbitz? He asked Pete Carroll three questions about J.R. Sweezy today. Carroll goes, am I in the wrong place? What's going on here? Clinton McDonald.
Just one for the
record. How do you like that? Clinton McDonald, who can set a tone because he's a quiet leader.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
And he did, you know, I don't want him to be quiet on Sunday, though. And he's playing against his former team who let him hit free agency. They didn't want him anymore. He wasn't 35 years old. And I think you guys would agree that Clint McDonald is one of the most respected guys on this roster.
Absolutely.
Especially from the younger guys. And he can set a dynamic tone by putting Wilson on his keister nice and early on Sunday. So I'm hanging this one on you, McDonald, but I'm still picking the Seahawks.
Well, I think you're dreaming, Ira. And
there you go. What's look, wrong with dreaming, Steve?
No, nothing's wrong with dreaming, Ira. You know, I was playing tennis this morning. I finally felt that, you know, my game is where I the way I played today, I could have beaten Kaufman.
Now you're dreaming.
I was dreaming.
Now you're dreaming.
I was dreaming.
Nothing wrong with dreaming. The Everly Brothers, dream. I don't want to sing too much on this podcast.
I need to bring up Rachel Watson.
No, don't bring up Rachel.
look, the Bucks front four got no rush against Kansas City. I don't expect them to get anything against Seattle. And even if they do, the Bucks have a long history of not being able to contain a quarterback. They just, we broke contain. We couldn't get contain. They have an issue with that. I'd like to see, we keep saying this, but most likely you're going to have Kwon or Lavonne David assigned to spy Wilson here. And both those guys have the speed. Kwon has better speed. But one of those guys has to step up. There's going to be more blitzing this week as well. We saw like no blitzing last week. Those linebackers have got to play big-time football.
They haven't beaten an elite quarterback since week one in Atlanta.
Yeah.
You know, the Alex Smith doesn't count. Cutler doesn't count. And Kaepernick doesn't count.
Kaepernick doesn't count.
Come on.
Here's a big challenge.
Big test. All right, Ira, happy Thanksgiving. Your plans today? Turkey? Are you ahead?
This is a story that captivates the nation each year. When you go on Chris Russo's show and you wax poetic about your Thanksgiving dinner that you travel across the state for, a chef.
And sometimes he asks me about Thanksgiving growing up in little Brooklyn, New York, Steve.
Did they have turkey?
It was not a big day. We had the frozen turkey, Waldbaum's, and a couple of string beans. It was no big shakes.
But now you go to a chef's house,
and now we go to my brother-in-law. Soup to nuts, Isbitz. All we do is bring a bottle of wine and we feast for 3 hours.
Nice. Yeah, back in the 30s, I'm sure. You know, it's just
And by the way, I believe the Redskins and Cowboys will be going at it this afternoon. So that's a heck of a late afternoon game for
game for the Bucks.
That's a big game for the Bucks.
That's right. What was the quarterback's last name? I can't think of it. I'm pretty sure his first name was Cliff.
Clint Longley.
Yeah, who punched Roger Staubach. But the reason why we bring up Clint Longley's name, Google his name, you'll get some good stories out of it. Clint Longley comes off the bench for a concussed Roger Staubach back when the Redskins and the Cowboys were fighting for the division title Thanksgiving Day. Longley was a 3-touchdown deficit, overcame and beat and stunned George Allen's Redskins.
Absolutely stunned them.
One quick question for you, Ira. We're 10 games in. Mike Smith, is he going to be here in 6 weeks? When Black Monday comes, is he going to be here?
Well, if you asked me 3 or 4 weeks ago, I would have said they're probably going to have to make a change, and that would have come down from the top. Mm. It wouldn't necessarily have been the head coach's choice. It might have been a demand.
Carter won't get rid of him.
I think Smith is making a nice rebound, and I'm going to take Werner as my example. Yes, he got burned, Lee. Yes, he got burned, but he also closed very quickly on a couple of plays where last year he was 10 yards away from the guy. Mm-hmm. Lee, mm-hmm. It was an easy completion, and that's why they were completing 70% of their passes. And as I stunned Isbitz the other day, during that 0-4 tailspin at the end, it was 77% complete. Can you imagine?
That's galling.
77% completions over a four-game period?
That's
called original research, Isbits. Get used to it.
There are Pasco County flag football teams, high school, that summer league they have, Pasco County High School football, we have a summer league flag football.
That's right.
That don't have 77% completion percentage.
Does the Buck defense is more aggressive?
Just for clarity, to use your term from earlier, you're talking about the last four games last year, opposing quarterbacks completed 77% against the Buccaneers, which is, that's like batting, NFL equivalent of batting practice.
Yeah, I mean, that's 120, 140 pass attempts. That's a big number.
That's insane.
It's insane. Steve, they're more aggressive than they were, and whether that came down from the top, and I mean the very top, or Jason Light played a role, Cutter.
Wait a minute. So you think Brian Glazer emerged from his oatmeal with you.
Again with the oatmeal?
And said, we need to blitz more? come on.
Don't think the Glazers don't know a few things about the NFL.
I'm not. I just don't think they come down and say we need to blitz.
That's something Al Davis would do.
I think they talk to the general manager on a weekly basis. And they give their thoughts.
All right.
They give their thoughts.
Do you think the Glazers actually get on the phone at halftime?
Don't count out Avi Glazer. He might have a little 2 cents in there, too.
Do you think, aside from the fact that the number one overall pick is on the line, you think the Glazers, and I don't
during a game, absolutely not.
So they don't do an Al Davis to get on the phone
absolutely
at halftime?
Absolutely not. Okay. Steve, I'm not going that far. But, look, if we said it, why don't the Glazers see it?
I understand. I'm trying to clarify now.
They were too passive.
To clarify, you're saying right now a dramatic statement for clarity.
Go ahead.
that the Glazers at halftime last year or 2 years ago, when they're beating New Orleans, didn't call Lovey and say bench Lavonnie David.
I am saying they did not.
That story of the Bucks, the chase for Jameis and the tank in that final game, that's a story that should come out one day, Ira. I think before you pack it in, you need to unveil the truth that they mailed that one in.
All of the excuses are weak. They're like oatmeal. And you keep talking about oatmeal.
Salty oatmeal?
Salty oatmeal. Now, none of them hold up.
Now, I'd like to sign off, Ira, but you didn't answer the question. Is Mike Smith here in 6 weeks? What's your gut?
Mike Smith's here in 6 weeks because I don't think he's going to get a head coaching.
All right. Okay, there we go. Ira Kaufman podcast is in the books. We will be back Tuesday.
And now I got to face Mike Smith tomorrow. Thank you very much, Isbit.
we'll be back Tuesday for your next podcast post game on the Seahawks. And Ira's column, of course, is here Friday and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And Ira, you know what? This podcast is your 100th entry.
Wow.
For JoeBucksFan.com. Your 100th piece of work. And, try to pick up your game a little bit.
That obviously begs the question that I think I've gone above and beyond over here at the Kemper. So, perhaps a big raise is in the offing in 2017.
So you're saying Joanne Korth is jealous?
He's wangling. He's wangling.
He's wangling.